New Year to everyone. I hope you had a great time during the holiday season, slowly getting used to getting back into the grind of daily routine and writing the number 8 instead of 7 when you sign things. I still make mistakes when I write down dates. I always put down 2017 and people think I'm living in last year. Over the holiday seasons, I have a question. Have any of you been able to go to the cinema? I've been to the cinema quite a lot of times over the holiday season, and there's particularly one thing that struck me every single time I was in the movies. It's this. It's the I Am McGoring McD ad. Have you seen it? It's wonderful. When I was sitting there and the ad goes on and then you hear that crunch that they put on with the side effects and the sound effects, and after that you see people going like they're salivating over it and they're licking their fingers trying to point to KFC that they're also finger licking good, and then they have this sound of like, and then the spiciness comes in, and it's something that when I looked at it, they did such a great job that as I kept on looking this ad as I was in the cinema a couple of times, I always felt, and I was like, I'm hungry. I know it's a terrible thing to start a sermon with, as you guys are probably now being hungry and want to get out of here and have some food. But it's amazing. As I kept on looking upon this ad, it did something in me that I continually wanted to have the thing that I was looking at. And I felt hungry, and I must tell you, over time, over watching the cinema a couple of times, eventually I caved. Eventually, I went and I went to McDonald's and I got that chicken. I'm not a hater. It was great. it did its job. I really enjoyed the chicken. But after I ate it, it just didn't hit the spot the way it's supposed to. It didn't completely satisfy, and I was left there wanting more. I wanted more chicken. Or I wanted something more. And even though it was good for that moment, it didn't last. You know, the taste didn't last. And at the end, to be honest, I just felt guilty. I sat at home thinking, oh, I just ate something that's going to leave me malnutritioned and obese. It doesn't have any lasting values. And I kind of felt a little bit empty. I felt I wanted more of something. And whatever I thought is going to give me the joy didn't really satisfy me the way I wanted it to satisfy me. And that's kind of what we want to look at today. We want to kind of look at three things this morning. We want to look at how emptiness looks like, where we look to be filled, and lastly, the one we have to gaze upon to be fully satisfied. These are three things we want to look at this morning, and let me start leading us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you may be with us. We give you praise and thanks for your word, that we can come here together and hear your word, that your word may do its work in us this morning. We ask for your grace that we may hear your word. Father, that I may speak your word clearly and boldly. Father, that your word may fill us fully, that we may know you through your word, experience you, and love you, and be filled by you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What emptiness looks like. I was looking at some counseling websites, and one of the websites gave some good insight, and it talked about things that we say to ourselves, or things that we talk to others about, or things that we think, a few phrases that are common to people who feel empty. Have you ever thought about these things, or have you ever said that to somebody? I feel nothing. I'm detached from people and activities. I'm an empty shell. I feel like I'm just going through the motions. I don't know who I am anymore. Nobody cares. Life is not worth living. There is no hope. If we have ever thought these thoughts, we are probably familiar what it feels like to be empty. When you feel empty, you kind of feel helpless. Like there's nothing you can do to get rid of this uncomfortable state. It's hard for us to determine why we feel this way, and you may try to blame external factors for your empty feeling. And this makes a lot of sense because we want relief from this uncomfortable state of being. The truth is, none of these external factors that we can think about are the cause of our emptiness. Emptiness is connected to our internal, emotional, spiritual world. Emptiness is not a feeling that's easy for us to get rid of. We feel empty when we compare ourselves to others who seem to have it all, and we then are left with a feeling of despair. And for all we know, the person that we're looking at might be feeling empty himself. A feeling of emptiness can happen to any kind of person. If you're here and you're a Christian, you can feel empty. Paul is talking to Christians here, and he's asking for the fullness of Christ to be in them. In Ephesians, Paul is talking and praying, and he's praying that they will experience the fullness of Christ. Many people experience kind of emptiness at some point in their lives. The feeling can be triggered by different kind of events, such as loss of relationships, a death of a loved one. For some people, emptiness becomes like a chronic feeling. They're detached from their lives, and they just can't shake the sense that something is missing. This can happen to even people who seem to have everything together, who have a healthy family, who have a good job, they have a rocking body. It is not exclusive to people who are missing these life achievements. Just because emptiness does not come from the outside, as I said, it comes from the internal state. That being said, even though it comes from the internal state, it affects all of our lives. It affects every area of our lives. Some people, when they say, how does emptiness feel like, they report that emptiness is like a physical sensation in their bodies. It may be an empty feeling in your chest. You may feel tired. You may feel lethargic. Other people report that they emotionally feel that sensation. You might be feeling bored all the time. You're on your couch watching show after show after show. You think that nothing matters. You have that sort of kind of emotional numbness. You may feel a sense of despair that you can't explain or seem to shake. Just a little bit more about emptiness. Let's just explore this emptiness a bit more fully. You may start to recognize your empty feeling when you notice parts of your life not going according to plan. You're suddenly underperforming at work. You notice that you're maybe losing friends. Your intimate relationships, including family ones, are suffering. Maybe you're putting on weight, or maybe you're losing weight because you're feeling hopeless and things like, what's the point? Why should I try? Why should I eat? We may ask ourselves this question, why do I feel so empty? It's entirely possible that our emptiness may come from something that is missing in our lives. Maybe you had certain ideas about where you would be at this point of life, and you aren't quite there yet. That's why you feel empty. Your life goals include relationships with friends, with family, career goals, health and fitness goals. Maybe you plan to have a family by now, but you're not even dating anyone. That may leave you feeling empty. Maybe it's your job that's leaving you feel unsatisfied and unfulfilled. You may have what others consider a good job, and you're making plenty of money to support your lifestyle. Either way, you can feel discontented because we spend so much time at work, and unsatisfying work life can take a toll over the overall satisfaction of our life. Another possibility is that you just don't have the body image and the health that you want. It might be because of a chronic sickness, it might be because of disease, it might be that you've been trying to shed that weight and it just doesn't go away, or health issues that can't just be fixed. The truth is, as we just looked at it, there's so many reasons that there could be for us to feel empty. But truth be told, they're merely symptoms of a bigger root problem. And it's important for us to understand where this feeling of emptiness ultimately comes from. What is that thing that we long for? What is that thing that we hope that will come into our lives and truly fill us? What will take away that void? And to quote James MacDonald, he said this, that the Greeks, when they looked at that thing that would fill us, they called it the unknown. Rudolf Otto called it the numinous, the supernatural. Aldous Huxley called it the mysterium tremendum, the terrible mystery. Paul Tillich called it the ground of all being. Very often, people at the end of their ropes call it the higher power. Transcendence is what it's called in the abstract. But manifest presence, something that manifests and something we can feel in the presence, is what it's called an experience. If you don't know what it is, you might give it a lot of names. But if you know what it is, you call it glory. See, feeling empty isn't caused by a lack of money, romance, or success. It's the lack of glory in our lives. You see, we were created to be in the presence of glory. And as we were created, God made a plan for us on how we should live our lives in His presence and live out that glorious plan He had for us. But we departed from that plan. That deportation is what we call sin. And because of our sin, we are no longer with God. We've been separated from God. We've been separated from glory. And now our hearts are empty. And we yearn for it. We long for it. And that's the emptiness that we cannot shake away. That the emptiness that we try to fill with so many things in our lives. So this is what emptiness looks like. It's that hole that we have in our lives because we've been separated from glory. So where do we look to be filled? Well, in our lives, there are so many areas that we look to. And in this passage today, Paul writes that, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition or according to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ." It is strange, though, that when we feel this emptiness, these are exactly the things we look to. We look to the things that ultimately hold us captive. Now, depending on what culture you live in, what time age we live in, what kind of person you are, you might look to different things. They might be defined differently in your culture. It might be defined differently in history. But ultimately, all these things, whether they are human tradition or their elemental spirits or their philosophies, the things that we usually look to can be defined in three things. And the first thing that we usually look to fill that void of glory is carnal desires. It is things that gives us instant gratification. Usually they look like this. They're usually sex. They're food. They're that ayam megoreng. They are material possessions. Some of us go to drugs. Because they sometimes give us this instant fullness. We just take a bite, we just have a touch, we have a sensation, and immediately we feel full. And though it might be temporary, we go to it because it's so easily achieved. And depending on where our hearts are rooted, what carnal desires take root in our lives, these are the ones that we usually go to the first. So things that make us feel good. When we feel empty, some of us go shopping. When we feel empty, when we're craving love, some of us have sex. Some of us go and take that bowl of ice cream. And some of us just try to numb that pain by using drugs. Now, the second thing that we go to usually are things that build us up, things that make us feel good about ourselves so we can hug ourselves. Right? Things that make us feel good about ourselves, like whatever the philosophy of that day, whatever the human tradition of the day, whatever society is saying right now makes you a success. And when you achieve it by your own works, you feel good about yourself. We go there. Whatever self-help books try to tell you that you must do so that you have a happy life. These are the other things that we go through. Anything that builds us up. Usually it's our work accomplishments. Maybe we're getting that other degree, that next PhD, or maybe we have that other business, or we do really well in our work. So when we look in the mirror, we say, yes, well done, Massimo. Things that make us feel good about ourselves. Because when we feel good about ourselves, when we look into the mirror, we don't feel that empty anymore, at least for that moment of time. For some of us, it might be fitness goals. Right? We go and we work out, and we have that self-glory that we look at. For some of us, it might be family. We go to our family. And all these things I'm mentioning, in itself, some of them are not bad things. Some of them are good things. But when these good things become ultimate things in our lives, become the idols that we worship, and they become things that actually ultimately leave us feeling more empty. So things that give us instant gratification, things that make us feel good about ourselves when we look upon ourselves. And the last thing is things that establish us and give us praise and applause in this world. They are very similar to things that make us feel good about ourselves. The difference is when we feel good about ourselves, the ultimate goal is for us to like ourselves. Well, here the ultimate goal is for other people to like us, things that establish us in society. Now, the word "establish" is an interesting word. It kind of means like a guarantee or a business deal. But when we look at the word "establish," we're very familiar with this because, especially us here who live in the city, people who move in the city are all about establishing themselves. I mean, whoever lives in the kampongs or in the villages, why do they move to the city? They move to the city so that they can establish themselves in their business, in their careers. And establishing yourself is ultimately about making your name known. If you want to go to an established accounting firm, you probably go to one of the big fours, right? Because they're established and their name is known. So we go and we try to do everything so that our name may be known, so people can give us praise, because as Tolkien said, the praise of the praiseworthy is above all reward. Whenever who we think is worthy of all praise praises us, whoever we hold in high esteem, whoever we value praises us, now that's above all reward. That's something that we really want. That gives us that temporary feeling of glory. This problem is not a new problem that is here in this world, just in this modern age. It was the problem of the world since the Tower of Babel. In the Tower of Babel, in Babel, what did the people say? Come, let us build a tower so that we can make our name great. People, until today, build buildings to make their name great. We have a new building in town, Tun Razak Exchange. Somebody's trying to make his name great. People build buildings all the time, and whoever gets that contract to build that building, whoever is doing that right now, that person who's building that great building, well, that person's company is going to have a great name. And all the subcontractors who are able to do this are going to have a great name. And whoever gets to have an office in that building, that company is going to have a great name. And then whoever gets to work in that office is somebody who's trying to establish himself and get a great name. And then come the bottom feeders who try to service the clients who have offices in there and trying to get their name made great. We want to have a great name because we want the praise of the praiseworthy. We want to be established. But where are we establishing in? I just gave business examples here. We might be different kind of people, and we're trying to establish ourselves in different areas in our lives because we're different kind of people. Usually what we try to do, we try to establish ourselves in the areas that we value most. Because we think that when we achieve that status, when we have success in getting that thing that we value most, when we have our name great, when we have that success, we will have reached glory. We think the bridge to glory is success. And because we have experienced it in our lives so often, every time we do well, people applaud. When we get great A's, our parents are happy about ourselves. Whenever we have that success, we get that reward. Now, my question to you is, where are you trying to establish yourself in? And usually we try to establish ourselves in the areas that we have the highest value, the thing that we treasure the most, that's most important to us. These are the areas that we are going to try to make ourselves feel good in. These are the areas we're trying to get satisfaction from. These are the areas where we're going to make our name great. And many of us, let's look at our lives right now. Where have we been spending time to try to establish and build our lives upon? You see, there's a good litmus test for us to figure out what we truly treasure, what we truly value in our lives. You see, it works like this. Our actions, our words, our thoughts, our deeds are all controlled by a control center. And that control center is our heart. Scripture says that guard your heart with all vigilance. Why? Because from it flows the wellspring of life. So our heart is kind of the control center of all of life. So when we look what we do with all our lives, what we say, what we think, what we do, the conversations that we have with people, we can figure out where our heart is. Because our activities are signals and signs of what the control center is trying to do. But guess what? There is something that controls your control center. And that is the thing that you value, the thing that you treasure. Scripture says, where you lay your treasure, there your heart is also. So whatever you treasure controls your heart, which controls all your life. So let's be real about it. We live in a day and age where we value authenticity, where we don't like hypocrites, where we want to be real. Just for yourself right now, reflect back over the last 1 or 2 months and see, where have you been spending your time on? What conversations did you have? Where are you trying to establish yourself in? Where are your desires rooted in? And when you look at all the activities and all that you have said and all that you have done, you'll probably figure out what you treasure, what your treasure is in life. And sadly to say, most of our treasures are not things that last. Most of our treasures are things that fade and perish. And all our lives is like a quest to find that treasure. And when we don't find it, we feel empty. And when we find it and we open it and we taste it and we see it, we realize it doesn't fully satisfy. We want another treasure. We want more. Rockefeller at his height, when he had everything in life, when he had the most money that anybody had ever had at that point of time, people asked him and says, how much more money do you need? He said, just a little bit more. It didn't fully satisfy. What we look to usually fades away. What we look to usually can get stolen. What we look to, what we treasure, usually perishes. When we don't have it, we feel empty. When we find it and have it, it leaves us unsatisfied. So then, the question is, who do we have or what do we have to look to be eternally, fully satisfied? Well, it must be something that changes our desires, that doesn't focus on just instant gratification, but then lets us focus our desires on eternal value. It must be something that is not based upon our own accomplishments, because they are perishable and they are fading and they don't have eternal value. It must be something upon somebody else's accomplishment and somebody else's works. Not something that we have built, but something somebody else has built. It must be something that doesn't establish us in this city, but something that establishes in the city to come. Something that keeps us established for eternity. Not in this kingdom, but in the kingdom to come. That's why we must look to the one, we must go to the one we have to gaze upon to be fully satisfied, and that person is Jesus Christ. We must go to Jesus. He is the only one who can fully satisfy. Here in this word, it says this, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." All the glory, all the fullness, all that we have been looking for, the only thing that can truly satisfy is pleased to dwell in him. In Colossians, earlier on in chapter 1:15, it says that he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Paul, when he says that we must be filled with Christ, says that not because when we are filled with Christ, we are going to be rooted in him, we're going to build our lives upon him, we're going to be established in him. And how do we do that? By looking upon Christ and his finished work. And Paul, for the next couple of verses, just keeps on hammering home what Jesus has done. He says here that in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. He gives us a new heart. He gives us new desires. He changes our heart. Therefore, our hearts are no longer rooted in our carnal desires. Our hearts are now rooted in him. Having been buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised with him through faith in the power working of God who raised him from the dead. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we die to our old selves. We die to all the old things that we are used to doing about being ourselves and trusting in our own works, and we are being raised in him, and we are being made alive to this new person who is Christ, and in him we then have life. And you were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. We must put our faith in Jesus. Now you must be sitting here and says, "Master, I know this. I know the gospel. I go to church every week. I know the good news, and I have put my faith in Jesus, but I still feel empty. It still doesn't change me. I mean, now that I'm a Christian, I notice I'm supposed to feel full. And maybe you're here and you never heard this good news. Well, yes, you have to look upon the cross. You have to gaze upon Jesus and his beauty, and then you will receive him and you'll be filled. But if you're here and you're a Christian, what do you do? Well, in the opening verses of this passage, Paul said this, "Therefore, as you received Christ the Lord, so walk in him." So in the same way that you received him by gazing upon the gospel, by looking upon his beauty and his majesty, by looking upon everything that he has done for you, in the same way that you have been saved, in the same way you walk, in the same way you get filled. You see, many of us, we know where KLCC is, right? We know that KLCC exists, right? We have been there before. We know it's there. We know it's downtown. We know the map. We know how to get there. Knowing that KLCC exists and standing at the foot of the building and looking upon it and gazing upon its majesty and its beauty is a completely different thing. Just that we know that it exists keeps us filled with nothing. It keeps us empty. It doesn't fill any void knowing that it exists. But when we go downtown and we stand at that fountain full of colors, and when we gaze upon that building, we stand there at the foot of the building and we stand with awe because we have experienced a little bit, a glimpse of the glory of that building. How much more when we gaze upon Jesus? We must continuously look and gaze upon his beauty and his majesty and his finished work. We must gaze upon the cross. Because on the cross, he who had everything, see, Jesus had all the glory. He had all the fullness. But he who had equality with God didn't find equality with God something to be grasped. But what did he do? He emptied himself. He emptied himself for us. In Isaiah, we read that there was no majesty, no beauty. There was nothing that was desired when we looked upon him. He emptied himself of all these things so that we could be filled. He was obedient in everything that we were not obedient in. Where we failed, he succeeded. He was obedient when he took on human flesh. He was obedient even unto the cross and unto death. But know this, when on the cross, the authorities of that time and the principalities and the powers of that time thought that they had victory, they did not. And he put them to shame. Because 3 days later, he rose again. And when he rose again, Scripture tells us that he was given the name above every name. It says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has the name that is most praiseworthy. He is given full glory. And guess what? The praise of the praiseworthy is above all reward, we said. Well, the most praiseworthy did not just praise you. He laid down his life for you. And when we look upon that, when we see that majesty, when we reflect and gaze upon Jesus, we will realize that he's like a pearl. That when we see it, we want nothing else, and we will sell everything just to own that pearl. When we gaze upon Jesus, we will realize that he's just like a treasure. He's a treasure that when we find it, we will bury it back into the land that we had, and we'll sell everything we have just to purchase that land so that we can own that treasure. A famous hymn said this: O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O errors in sin more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The path to glory isn't success. The path to glory is grace. And when we learn to treasure it and treasure Jesus and everything he has done in our lives, our lives will be changed because he has grafted us into the plant. We'll be deeply rooted in him. He has become the cornerstone upon we build our lives. And that foundation will never shake. Whatever wind will come, whatever storms will come, whatever troubles will come in our lives, no, it will hold. It will fully establish us in the kingdom to come. Because we take on his name. We will have the name above all name. We are his family. We share in his inheritance. We share in his glory. And that frees us. It frees us now no longer to be about making our name known, but it frees us to be about making his name known. It frees us to live our lives for him, to be about his glory. Do we treasure Christ? Let us pray. Father, we bow our knees before you, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of your glory, you may grant us to be strengthened with your power and your spirit and your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, when we look upon that treasure, we will be full every time. We will be satisfied. Help us to build our lives upon your love, for only you are worthy. Amen.